So as we continue through our series entitled Encountering Jesus, tonight we meet Zacchaeus, the tax collector, as detailed in our passage Luke 19 verses 1 through to 10. So throughout our series, we've seen the reputation of Jesus grow. His teaching has been incredible. His miracles, phenomenal. And as his reputation has grown, so have the numbers that have followed him. See, many have sought to see Jesus. Many have sought to find him. Many have sought to follow him. Zacchaeus was no different. He wanted to see Jesus for himself. But before we consider the story of Zacchaeus, I'd like to ask you, how many of you have ever seen a mountain rescue effort on television? Don't know if you remember, but in 1992, the BBC commissioned a docudrama series entitled 999. The series was presented by Michael Burke, and it depicted real-life 999 rescues. The rescues were reconstructed using actors, but some of those involved in the actual incident also played a part in the reconstruction. I can remember being allowed to stay up late on a school night to be able to watch with great anticipation as to the outcome of each of those rescues. I've always been in awe of those that risk their lives for others. Now, most of you know, I work in the city of Derby. And recently, I learnt that Derby, the city of Derby, has its own mountain rescue team. Now, it might be slightly surprising, but they have three main purposes. Or their main purposes is the search and rescue of injured or missing people, principally in upland and mountainous areas. However, they will go wherever they're needed to go. When called, they respond. Why do they respond? Because lives are in danger. They tell us on their website, millions of people visit the Peak District each year. A few become lost, some stranded, some injured, some even die. They try to find and rescue these lost or injured people before it's too late. Although they are a voluntary organisation, they are dedicated to saving lives. So far in 2019, they've already attended 45 call-outs. 43 have been successful, 2 sadly not. Now, seeking and saving the lost is very much our theme this evening. Turn with me to the very last verse in our passage, Luke 19, verse 10. It reads, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And that is our first point this evening. Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus refers to himself here as the Son of Man. This is one of his favorite ways to refer to himself by. The Son of Man emphasizes that Jesus was in every way human, human in every way, except for sin. Jesus lived in total dependence of the Father. The title also affirms the full deity of our Lord. Jesus used it when referring to the fact that he existed in heaven before descending to earth and then ascending again into heaven. John 3 verse 13 reads, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." He also used it to declare that God the Father had given him all authority to execute judgment. Jesus said that as the Son of Man, he had authority on earth to forgive sins. When Jesus says in Luke 19 verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost," he's referring to the fact that as the Son of Man, as Son of God, he had taken on human flesh. He had come to this earth to offer himself in the place of sinners. He took our penalty on himself by his death on the cross, so that we could be saved from the penalty which we deserve. God would not have taken such extreme measures with his Son if lost people were able to save themselves. They are lost, and so they must be sought and found. Christ came to seek the lost. Turn with me to the rest of our passage for this evening in Luke 19. Verse 1 reads, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. So what do we know about Jericho? Well, Jericho was a very wealthy and important town. It was a town that attracted many traders from across the lands. It was regarded as one of the main trading centres of the area. There were routes going north, south, east and west. It was a busy, busy place. As a result, the Romans exploited Jericho by placing heavy taxes on the Jews. And this was one of several reasons the Jews despised Rome. So as Jesus entered Jericho, in verse 2 we read, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Zacchaeus was a Jewish name. It means righteous one, although there's nothing really righteous about Zacchaeus at this point. We are told he is a chief tax collector. To collect taxes, the Romans needed tax collectors. Now, if you wanted a tax franchise, you had to buy it from Rome. They would auction positions off and then require you to pay a certain amount as a tax collector. Whatever else you wanted to tax or keep, that was up to you. So this was an easy formula for corruption. You had foundational taxes, income taxes, customs taxes. But you could pretty much tax people for anything. As a result, tax collectors became filthy rich and likewise hated. Now, if you'd taken a poll in Israel during Jesus' days, you probably would have found that tax collectors were not popular fellows. They were maybe regarded as the scum of the earth. In fact, the teachers taught that associating with a tax collector was to make yourself unclean. They could not attend the synagogue. If you were a good Jew, you did not associate with these robbers. For personal gain, they served Rome, taking unfair advantage of their own countrymen. So Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, which made people despise the man all the more. But in light of this public hatred of tax collectors, it is significant that every time they're mentioned in the book of Luke, it's in a favourable light. There are probably 5 or 6 examples, but here are just 2. In Luke 5, verses 27 and 28. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. In Luke 15, verses 1 and 2, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus associated himself with tax collectors. He even picked one of them to be one of his 12 disciples. I wonder if Zacchaeus knew this. Had he heard that Jesus had chosen a tax collector as a disciple? Had he heard the complaints that Jesus socialized with sinners? If he had, was this his motivation? Was this his motivation for wanting to see Jesus as outlined in verse 3? Hearing such news may have given Zacchaeus reason for hope. Verses 3 and 4 read, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, the climbing of the sycamore tree is significant. Why did Zacchaeus do this? Well, as outlined in verse 3, he climbed a tree because he was short. Because he was short, he wanted to get a good vantage point. As the scriptures tell us, if he hadn't, He could not see over the crowd. Now, in the New King James Version of the Bible, Luke 19 verse 3 referenced Zacchaeus being short in stature. I guess we might have all been like Zacchaeus at some point in our lives. Maybe that's the reality for some of you here this evening. Maybe you are short in stature. Now, I'm not just talking about physical height here, because I'm sure if Phil would hear, it was here, he would agree that there are some advantages to being small. For one, if you're small, you're often the last to know when it's raining. I guess I could go on with the jokes, but you've got to hand it to small people. Well, they can't really reach it for themselves, can they? That's terrible. Anyway, no, seriously, short in stature is not about physical height. It's more about our social standing, perhaps where you fit in. It affects people of all ages, shapes, sizes. So I'm going to give you a barrage of questions now, just to brace yourself. How do you portray your life? Has life ever cut you down to size? Have you ever felt small and insignificant, ignored and of little importance? Have you ever felt as if you don't measure up? Do you sometimes feel as if you're always an outsider? Are you constantly trying to prove yourself? Prove yourself not just to others, but to yourself, even to God. Have you ever felt powerless? Powerless and overwhelmed by the circumstances of your life? Have you experienced being lost and being anonymous in the crowds of life? Now, if you answer yes to any of these questions, then you probably know what it's like to feel short in stature. You perhaps know what it's like to be Zacchaeus. I too know what that's like. In my 20s, I often felt short in stature. I just wanted to run away, escape the life that I had. I wanted to jump out of it and into someone else's. But I couldn't. Why? Because it's the only life I have. If Jesus is going to do anything new with me, it has to start with my life as it is. To run away, to ignore it, to try and escape it, denies Jesus anything to work with. The solution to being short in stature is facing our life, not running from it. So that's what Zacchaeus does in our passage this evening. He refuses to be lost in the crowd. He refuses to hide. He refuses to run away from who he is. Instead, he runs ahead of the crowd and he climbs a tree. However, whilst this may appear as though Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, it was indeed Jesus who was seeking him. Jesus clearly teaches in John 6 verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." He repeats this again in the same context later on in the same chapter of John in verse 65. "This is why I tell you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." If Zacchaeus was in that tree to seek Jesus, it was because the Father was drawing him to Jesus. Now, we don't know if Zacchaeus would have been happy just to get a glimpse as Jesus passed under that tree, because you see, Jesus didn't give him a chance. Jesus could easily have just passed under, never looked up. But when our Lord reached the spot, he took the initiative. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus had wanted to see Jesus, but he had no prior clue that Jesus wanted to see him. If you are seeking God today, you can know that it is only because of the Saviour's kindness in taking the initiative to seek you first. We don't know how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, but out of all the people in that great crowd, Jesus picked him out. Now, I'm sure there have probably been others in, maybe in the same tree or in other trees, but Jesus focused on this chief tax collector. On several occasions, Jesus accepted the hospitality of others. But this is the only recorded instance where he invited himself to someone's house. He was going after Zacchaeus personally. Jesus does not want to call the mass of humanity himself, just hoping against hope that somehow someone somewhere will respond and come. Rather, he calls individuals by name and his call is effectual. It powerfully accomplishes his purpose. Jesus Christ seeks the lost individually by name and calls them into a personal relationship with himself. Once he has found the lost, he then saves the lost. The next three verses, 6-9, read, "So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be the guest of a sinner.' But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham.'" Salvation is God's way of providing his people deliverance from sin and spiritual death through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not just seek the lost and then try to persuade them to decide to accept him as Savior. He seeks and actually saves the lost. In other words, he did not come just to make salvation possible for everyone, but rather to make salvation actual for those who the Father had given to him. Again, in the book of John, chapter 6, 37 and 39, Jesus declares, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Our salvation does not depend on our weak will. It depends on the mighty and certain will of God and on the keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus told Zacchaeus, "Today I must stay at your house," it was the must of a godly requirement. It was his Father, as his Father had requested. If Christ's reason for coming into this world was to seek and to save those whom the Father had given to him before the foundation of the world, then that intention will be accomplished. Salvation is not due to the will of man, but rather to the will of God. His purpose in saving the lost is never frustrated by the stubborn will of sinners. You might be thinking, well, how do I know that Christ will really save me? Do you see yourself as lost? Do you know that without God's grace, you would spend an eternity in hell? Do you recognize that if God left you to yourself, you would never seek him or believe in him? If so, then the good news is as outlined in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus died for the ungodly. Romans 5 verse 6. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. If the words lost, sinner, or ungodly fit you, then you can have hope. Hope because Jesus Christ came to save such people from their sins. But if you can sit there and say, "I'm not lost, I'm no sinner, I don't really call myself ungodly," then I'm sorry to have to inform you that Christ did not die for you. Scripture tells us that Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 9 again reads that Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." He does not mean that every member of Zacchaeus' family automatically got saved because Zacchaeus did. A man's salvation does not extend to his wife and children, unless, of course, they personally repent and believe themselves. Salvation is always individual and personal. Jesus proclaimed Zacchaeus' salvation before the crowd in Zacchaeus' presence. He did this to give him assurance of God's forgiveness. And I don't know if you like me, but I can imagine the crowd, once Jesus had left, perhaps taunting him. "So you've become a follower of Jesus, have you? It won't last. Just wait. You'll go back to your old ways, your old cheating, greedy ways." Can you imagine it? "But fear not. Whom the Lord saves, the Lord keeps." Whom the Lord keeps, the Lord assures repeatedly with his love and kindness. He constantly reminds us that we are his children forever. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:38-39 reads, "Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Since salvation then is totally of God, are we to sit back and do nothing? Clearly not. We should respond to God's command. We should respond to God's command as Zacchaeus did. Our final point this evening considers exactly this. How should we respond to being rescued? Perhaps you came tonight without much sense of your need for salvation. Perhaps, like Zacchaeus, you were maybe curious. But now you realize that you're a sinner and that the Lord Jesus is calling you to come down out of that tree where you were perched, because Jesus addresses you personally and by name. He wants to come and stay at your house. What should you do? Respond with haste. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately." Now, it's not easy to hurry down out of a tree, but Jesus told him to hurry. So in verse 6, he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus hurried and came down. Now, we don't know if he jumped down or whether he climbed. We don't know if he got scratched on any of the branches. We don't know if he hurt himself, but we do know that he didn't waste any time. Neither should you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." And it also says in Hebrews 4, verse 7, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You may not have tomorrow." If you put off responding to Christ's call, you may be in hell tomorrow, even if you get scratched on the way down. Hurry down from that tree. Secondly, we should respond with obedience. Jesus commanded and Zacchaeus responded. He didn't debate with Jesus. "Who, me? Do you know about my past?" He didn't protest that he wasn't the religious type. He didn't say, "Well, I can't right now. I've got some other things to attend to first." No, he obeyed. If Christ is calling you to himself, don't debate with him. Obey. Thirdly, respond with joy. Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. There was Zacchaeus sitting up in a tree, looking out at Jesus, when suddenly Jesus stops and looks up at him. Uh-oh. I wonder what was going through Zacchaeus' mind at this point. What would Jesus say? Would he condemn me for his cheating, greedy ways? Would he use me as a bad example to the crowd? Would he despise me in the same way everyone else does? It must have been a kind of heart in the mouth kind of moment. Then he hears the words, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus must have breathed a sigh of relief. He rejoiced immediately. "Even so, when the reality of God's grace floods your soul, great joy will be your response too." Lastly, respond with repentance. Now, Zacchaeus' faith is not mentioned directly, but it is evident by his repentance. We don't know exactly what Jesus and Zacchaeus talked about in his home that day, but the fruit of it is evident. Zacchaeus announces, and probably in front of the crowd, that he's giving half of his possessions to the poor, and he's repaying those who he has cheated 4 times the amount. Zacchaeus is going all out. Everyone who has truly believed in the Lord Jesus for salvation will show it. They'll show it by righting wrongs that have been done, by living in a godly manner in their future dealings with others. So as we draw to a close, let me just remind us that Jesus came to seek and save the worst of sinners. Now, if you are lost today, he comes by calling your name and inviting you to him. He sees you in whatever tree you might be in today. And when he calls you, you need to respond quickly and receive the Lord. Don't delay. Come to Jesus. Respond to his call with joyful repentance. Turn from your sin and receive him as Lord and Savior. Now, for those of us who know his great salvation, I pray that we will ask him to use us in seeking and saving those who are lost. Amen.